joining us on this very special Hanami? Hanami 8-4 Play podcast. Not yet.
Is it?
Kind of.
I mean, next time it's...
Two more weeks?
Okay, so the next show will be the Hanami.
I think next episode will be
March 30th.
Hanami special.
The Hanami special. Thank you. Welcome to the 8-4 Play podcast, your one and only place for all your needs on Japan games and Japanese games. I am your host.
Did it right.
Almost did it right.
For some reason, I am your host today, and I will take the ball and run with it. That is, you may call me Gabriel Certified.
Golf clap.
Thank
Congrats.
You.
Certified hacker, or what happened?
Some Amazon thing. It's
the thing you talked about last time.
Yeah. My manager was like, hey, when do you want to take this test? And I said, I don't know. And he's like, well, you either take the test or drop it because we have deadlines. And I'm like, I guess I'll take it Saturday.
I don't know why.
AWS, by the way, your AWS.
Amazon Web Services.
Certified. You can't be this like steepling your fingers, putting them back in your head. I don't know. Some Amazon thing. It's not a thing that people think is cool and they will understand what you mean. So let's explain that out there.
I mean, for me, it was just 2 months of basically being back in grad school or back in grad school. I never went to grad school.
Yeah, I was like, wait.
No.
I'm living a lie.
No. But it was
what you imagine grad school might be like.
I have worked with people who have done part-time grad school.
You had to do something other than sit there and watch Vampire Survivors play itself after your day job, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
I had to do a lot.
Cushy-ass day job.
I am so happy that, by the way, Mark, empty promises.
Oh.
McDonald's.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
It's not Eastern promises.
Nope.
For those people I killed in the sauna.
What?
What are my empty promises?
What happened to the whole let's hook you up with Rez and Tetris effect?
Oh, yeah.
I said how many communiques?
You did send a couple.
About three?
I was busy. I have people who do that, Gabe. I don't sully myself.
Empty promises.
Down in the trough where the pigs come to feed on the codes, okay? I have people who handle that for me.
Uh-huh.
No, seriously, you did message me right as I was like leaving the country. Like shit's been going on. Well, I'll get you codes. You didn't buy it yet, did you?
No, I did not buy.
Okay. Well, God forbid. God forbid.
I take you up on your offer.
To my
retirement.
My living. Yes, my retirement. I'm going to retire on that. what was it? Rez and Tetris for PS5?
PS5 VR.
PS4, right?
Yeah, VR2 or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's
do you own them on PS4? So am I just giving you that
upgrade? I have the 36, or not 36, Series X of Tetris Effect.
Okay. That I probably gave you.
That you definitely gave me. Oh.
Thank you. We'll make that happen for you.
Thank you, Mark.
I'll put you in touch with my people.
Thank you. Next time, you'll be hopefully fulfilled promises on the Hanami show. Across from him... we have John Freshly Manicured Hands Riccardi.
Ooh, really? What? I burned my hand today.
I don't know what.
Oh, really?
Pardon?
Were you cooking?
Yeah, I burned it. No. My wife, for some reason, poured scalding hot water into...
On you?
Yeah, on me.
I don't
into
judge.
The baby bottle, and I went to grab... This is an exciting story, by the way.
Yeah,
I went to grab the baby bottle as I was doing dishes, and I fucking fried the shit out of two of my fingers.
So
that's my story.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well,
why are your hands manicured, John?
I don't know. What
because
are you
John
about?
Is working on his new hand modeling career.
Oh. All right.
Okay, good source material, but I kind of fumbled on the execution.
I was debating between Project Runway or something like that. But like,
no, I'll give him like a bonus point because I did have a similar train of thought when I was watching that video. I was like, I wonder if John can now like put manicure services on the company. Card or whatever,
he
you
legitimately
know, it's like a
could.
Business expense.
100%. Yeah.
Because like a professional manicure feels very luxurious.
Mm. Feel
if
free
you
to,
never have, you should
did you
give
enjoy,
it a shot.
Did you enjoy my hands?
What the fuck?
Nice mani pedi.
You apparently watched the video.
Yeah, so did I. Like,
what video is that, John?
It was for the Japanese release, physical release of Cuphead.
Yes.
We got samples in of this, packaging we've been working on for a long time now.
Which is awesome.
With our friends at MDHR. Yeah, it's pretty rad. I'm really excited for it. I love it.
You should be very proud. You worked incredibly hard.
Thanks.
Incredibly hard on
that. It's been
a
long few months. But yeah, we finally got the sort of production samples or whatever. And I did a little video so we could show people how it works, because it's got this like plastic pullover
sleeve
thing that it's
mimics
like old school animation cells. And so like, you've got art on the already nice sleeve that we have on our traditional Super Deluxe releases, but then you pull the clear animation cell thing over and it like,
it's like the,
you know,
the
puts
black
the picture
the ink
together
is only on the clear sleeve, and it lines up with the colors of the art in the background. Yeah. And yeah, when you see it, it'll very much click.
It's really nice.
SDX and Games Twitter account. You can check that out.
That's right. Yeah, SDX Games. Please check it. Please follow.
You can also order it on Amazon.
Amazon Japan will ship it anywhere. Yeah. We've had a lot of people asking if we ship, like a lot of the places that sell it here in Japan sell it, you know, only in Japan, but Amazon Japan will ship it pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. I don't know if you have to have, maybe you have to make, do you have to make an app, a Japanese Amazon account, or can you use your Western?
I don't even think so.
I don't know how it works, but a lot of people have bought it from them. And so if you want one, they are limited and they're not going to be remade, and they're hot as hell. Inside it is the soundtrack, a physical soundtrack for the Cuphead DLC with cover art by Yoshitaka Amano, the Final Fantasy legendary Final Fantasy artist, and it's
also beautiful,
cool,
badass. three panel fold out thing
that, like, you know, you could open up the CD thing and put it in a frame if you wanted to. It looks so good. The case, like, it's just, his art is amazing, and he drew it in a sort of you know, his traditional kind of Final Fantasy-esque, I would say, you know, style, that old school style of his.
It's like a collector's edition, standard edition. It's a standard edition, but it's like, it basically as nice as a collector's edition, and it's not that expensive, especially with the exchange rate. It's actually, I will go so far to call it cheap.
Don't call your products cheap.
Yeah.
No, it's just it is, the exchange rate helps make these things.
It is a steal.
Affordable.
How about Master Hand?
That would have been, I would have called him that.
There you go.
That's much better.
You're leveling up right in real time.
Right. Yeah. 10 minutes too late, but we're getting
edit it, Gabe. It's up to you.
No. Finally.
Do some editing magic.
She's been very patient. She blushed a little bit back there because of John's.
That's that or the boobs.
They're nice, right?
It's fine. It's beautiful. You have a beautiful ring, actually.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Tina, I want to hear about a certain game you've been playing. So your nickname is Tina Eight-Legged Carter.
Octo.
Don't look at me. I
know what it is, but I'm just going to let him keep struggling.
Octodad.
Arachnophobia.
No, we're not talking about, what was the, who has the spider thing? Tango.
Oh, Lord.
What was the, they just announced something. That's for the news.
Arachnophobia, John Goodman. What are we going? Where are we doing? What's happening?
I think, where am I? Watching Gabe fumble this so hard is actually pretty enjoyable. So
right? Yeah, exactly. You get better.
Octopath Traveler 2.
It's a banger.
Wait, what was your
eight
nickname?
Legged, eight, octo,
no,
octopath.
Okay. No. No.
So I think the plan was to use that to transition into what we've been playing.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, work on that one.
Tina
talks about Octopath Traveler.
Tina hasn't been on Twitter for a very long time.
What, is this a conscious decision? Or are you just
Lady of Mystery?
Yeah,
I just don't have
anything
to talk about.
That should have been her nickname. There you go.
She's kind of the general malaise of Twitter these days.
Well, I mean, that's always there. But if I'm playing something that I have a lot of thoughts to put out into the world about, then I will tweet them out. But I've been very head empty lately.
Okay.
So that's cool.
That's all.
Yeah.
So not a lot of Octopath Traveler 2 hot takes that you had to tweet out.
Well, not yet, because I've played only about 3 hours.
Okay.
But the 3 hours I've played have been very good.
That game has been getting very good reviews.
I heard the writing was very
good. People are saying the writing's very good. Jason from, where is he at now, Bloomberg, said this, like, he's like the best, one of the best
show?
JRPGs ever, and like,
whoa,
you know,
whoa,
and
he's
always been a JRPG guy too. So it's not like he's just
some
noob.
No,
like,
shit.
Yeah. I really hope that that's true, because it's the potential is there.
And he was critical of the first one. You know, he was one of the, like, because it was first one was popular too, but he was one of the people who called it out for being very repetitive. You know, it was, I mean, you know, I liked it too, but it was fairly repetitive, like same formula for every story. And, but he said that this one kind of corrects all that and is really, really great. So that's exciting.
The big things that I was hoping would be different for this one were that the individual chapters would have a bit more variety, which is what you just talked about. And that the stories would intertwine a little bit more significantly. Because the first one had this cool idea where you have, you know, these eight separate people and they each have their own stories, but they're all traveling together. But the reality is you don't have to collect everyone to be able to play the game, which is cool because you could just like solo the entire game with one person. But that means that none of them are really significant to each other's stories either. And I haven't looked into it because I don't want to know, but it sounds like this one remedies that a bit, where there's more
That's what people are saying. And the thing that I was happy to read too, so I played about halfway through Octopath Traveler 1, and I still kind of, okay, it is still technically on my list of things to go back to, but the thing that's been nice is everyone who played 2 was like, just forget the first one and don't go back. You don't
need
any
characters. Is it the same? It's the same world. It's the, is it different time frame?
I asked about this on Twitter, and the general response was like, they're not related. Not like 100% not related, but like 98% not related. It's like there are some things that carry over, but like
It's not like a Final Fantasy or a where it's a totally different world.
I'm not sure, actually. It might be. I mean, it sounded like it's really unrelated. Like, you're not going to like get to the end and be like, oh, surprise or anything. Right. Like, it is just a totally new thing. But yeah, people are really, really positive on it. So I'm looking forward to it. Although I'm also, I mean, knowing how hard it was to play through the first, I had a hard time getting into the first one because it was like, it's a long game and it takes kind of a while to get into. So like, hopefully the second one is a little snappier.
It's not Switch exclusive, right?
No, it's on
the first
everything
one
this
was
time.
Initially Switch exclusive, so. Right? But it's on, it's okay. It's on everything this time.
It's on PS5 at least, I know. Okay. And also Switch. Yeah, probably Xbox. I don't know.
I think you'll probably find this one a bit easier to get into, if only because you played the first one, so you already kind of know what it's doing.
Sure.
The first one, you have kind of like a bit of a learning curve to understanding that you play as this one person, and then you meet up with a different person, but then you go back in time to play the first part of their chapter, and it's kind of like, wait, what? But right. You already know how that works, so you're sure. Going into it like, all right, let's get started. Who am I going to pick first? Who am I going to go get next?
I was listening to some podcast and they were like, oh, one of the chapters is like mimics the plot of 7 or something, and I was like, okay, I wasn't expecting this.
Okay,
but it's like, all right, well, that is definitely a far cry from the, you know, sort of traditional fantasy that was basically behind almost every chapter in the first game.
Well, I mean, the first one had some pretty dark story, like, not to get spoilery, but like Primrose and Cyrus both had pretty fucked up
stories.
They
had some mature themes, I would say, but I would still say the setting didn't really change. Like, it was effectively just like this sort of fantasy.
You didn't play very far into Cyrus's, did you?
I don't even remember which one Cyrus is. So
yeah, so that's fine. Don't worry about it.
He's the sea in Octopath.
But so you're going to keep at it then?
Oh, definitely.
Like.
I've done the first first section of 2 characters' stories so far. So
is playing it on Switch?
Yeah.
Is it 3 or 4 in your battle party?
I don't know yet. I still have only 2.
Ooh.
We'll find out.
Okay.
But it does, it keeps all the things that I really liked about the first one. Like, it doesn't fuck with any of that stuff. The break system is the same. The music is still banging.
Music is so good in that. The first game has one of the best soundtracks of, like, the last gen.
The boss sprites are still comically huge. Mm. Like, your party.
Still this gen on Switch, by the way. We're still fucking the guy I'm playing with the same goddamn Switch.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's how fucking long it's
been. I'm not mad at it.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
That's okay. Just the boss sprites are massive. Did you play this game?
No. I've seen a bunch of it, though. I know
your,
what you're talking
dudes
about, the
are,
big boss sprites.
For the listeners, this is going to be a great visual example, but your dudes are like this big all the time.
About an inch.
Tiny. And the boss sprites are like 4 times the size of you. Even if they're humans, they're just like comically massive, and there's so much detail in the sprites. They're fantastic. I love them.
This is the HD 2D or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I forget the
market. It looks great. You can travel on water now, which you couldn't do before. You go up to rivers and all your characters pop into little boats and just go boop, boop, boop.
Oh, okay.
Boop, boop, boop.
I was hoping they were just like run.
There's a day-night cycle, which actually changes what is on the map. It changes what your character's skills are in battle.
I think they talked about that in the Nintendo Direct or something when they first showed the game, and that sounded interesting. Yeah, like it sounded like there's more variety.
You know, never really had thought of that, but that was an old like Final Fantasy Saga thing where the bosses, even if they were people, and they were the same size before you went into battle.
Yep, exactly.
Then you went into battle, and they're like,
they're three times massive, the skyscraper. And like, yeah, beautifully animated.
I love that.
That was Kefka. Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking Kefka with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Big time.
Speaking of Kefka, I haven't had a chance to talk about Theater Rhythm for like three or four episodes now.
Okay. I realized we didn't talk about it last. Did like an update or something came out before last episode?
There's constant DLC. There's been like, I think two or three DLC drops so far since just the other day. They had a new drop of six songs from the World Ends With You series. Theater Rhythm though is Final Bar Line. It's the, I guess it's like the fourth Theater Rhythm game. There was like two Final Fantasy ones and a Dragon Quest one in Japan.
God, there's been really?
In the past, they were on 3DS.
There were arcade games, right?
There's an arcade version too, yeah. But
was
this
there
is,
really? Final Fantasy arcade version of it?
Theater Rhythm or
I only
Final
knew
Fantasy
of one. I don't even know if that I knew the Dragon Quest one came out.
Yeah, the Dragon Quest one was only in Japan. It was really good though. But anyway, like, yeah, this came out, but I mean, it's not like there's anything new to talk about. Everyone's probably talked about this to death, but this game is so good. It is like a 10 out of 10. Like, in terms of like, if you like Final Fantasy or you like game music, it's like 400 something tracks or something right out of the box. I guess I got the deluxe edition, so I don't know what you get if you don't get that. That has like, it's basically like all the season one DLCs included, but
it seems like a rock band type situation where what DLC and buying DLC and all that kind of shit is, it's like the heyday of Guitar Hero and stuff like that, where that's the big part of it. You don't just like buy the game and you're done with it, or unless you get like a season. How much was your, is it, you have like a season pass?
I just bought, they had a deluxe edition, like the digital deluxe edition, and that has everything through season one, which is not, it's still ongoing for months
season.
Now.
Oh,
but
okay.
Like, but it
and
was
how
like,
much was that? Do you remember?
Like, well, I bought it in Japan, money? So it was like 80 or 90, like 9,000 yen or something like that.
Damn, they're going to make so much money on that shit. And then how much are these? These DLC packs.
I actually don't know because I already own them all, so I haven't had to buy one. But I assume they're
they're still in season one, and so the DLC
There's stuff. So I think maybe Nier is next. There's going to be Nier music. So the really cool thing about this is like the previous two ones that came out were Final Fantasy, more or less exclusive. Like, you know, and this one they didn't call it Final Fantasy. It's just called Final Bar Line because it has all this. It's mostly Final Fantasy. It's like music from literally every Final Fantasy, 1 through 15.
They were in the previous Theater Rhythm games, of course.
Some of them were, not all of them. Yeah, there's a lot of new stuff in here. But then there's also, like, you know, several, like, offshoots. There's, like, Mystic Quest, and there's, like, you know, the Game Boy games, and there's, like, you know...
Right.
Like, the Final Fantasy VII series, which is, like, you know, Advent Children, and, like, Reunion, all the spin-offs and stuff, and, like...
Jesus, you could do a whole game just on Final Fantasy
VII.
Yeah, and all the different variations.
But it is so well made. Like, it's one thing to, you know, just have a bunch of great music, which it does, but it's also, like, it's a really good rhythm game. Like, if you've played enough of this stuff, whether it be, like, your Beatmanias or your... Mm-hmm. Even in the other direction, like, Parappa and stuff, there's, like, there's well-made ones, and then there's sort of, like, okay, they just... sort of, you know, phoned it in, but these are like actually really well done. Like, and there's four difficulty levels, and like I play on the second difficulty, which is called expert. It's not as hard as it maybe sounds, but like it's enough to be like challenging, but like not crazy, and that's what I want. I don't want to go nuts, but I've tried some of the harder stuff. Man, you got to see Supreme is like the hardest level on this.
I've seen some internet videos.
I saw your video.
It's insane. You need to have like all 10 fingers going with like, you know, to get.
Yeah.
And I see people mastering it on like YouTube videos and stuff, and it's nuts. But it's just really well made. Like
any rhythm game, people, there's like savants at that. But let me ask you, so is it just a well executed thing of the same formula, or does it do anything like new or different? Not that it needs to necessarily, but is it just like what else, what is left to do in that formula?
You know, that's a good question. So it is a well-executed thing. There is multiplayer now, but I actually haven't messed with it at all. Like, you can play together with other people on songs.
That's interesting.
Local?
Online.
Just
too,
online?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's a lot of information that, like, you get, like, you make a profile card and you can, like, you know, customize it and stuff, and then you can share that with other people and, you know, share your records and all this stuff. I don't know how much of that was in the last one, because I actually, the last one was called Curtain Call, I think, on 3DS, and I skipped it entirely. I didn't play it, because, like, I was Theater Rhythm out by that point, because I had played the previous one plus the Dragon Quest one. But anyway.
But it's basically you know, thing, circle, bar, whatever it is, comes down a line. I forget what they call that thing.
Yeah, there's battle stages the button, and there's field stages, and they both play a little bit differently, but it's effectively, yeah, there's bars and buttons and timing and, you know, holding the button versus tapping the button versus hitting two buttons at once.
Right.
Versus, like, having to move the stick or two sticks. I think the two-stick stuff is new because there wasn't even two sticks on 3DS. So, like,
and then what happens in the background is more just, like, it's reflecting how well you're doing or not, but it's, like, a little vignette plays out that might look like a Final Fantasy battle or might look like
but it is playing out like you actually are fighting bosses and stuff, and like there's quests on every song too. Every song has a quest attached, and like the quest will be like, you know, beat the boss in 20 seconds or you know, beat the boss without using ice, or I don't know, there's all these different, there's tons of different quests. Use this character in your party
without
or,
using ice. You're not choosing spells and shit.
You get each game, Final Fantasy 1 through 15 plus the other ones, gives you like a few, like 5 or 6 characters that you can add to your party.
Yeah.
And you level them up. I have like 25 guys who are like level 99, like if you play enough. And each of them has different skills and abilities, and they have stats in like 7 different categories, like strength and magic and this. And so the different fights and bosses that you encounter require different skill sets. So like some guys might be weak against magic, some guys might be weak against
who you choose, but they're auto battling once you choose who goes in there. You're not like selecting from a menu in addition to doing the bars.
All your strategizing happens like right before you start up the fight. Yeah. Sure. But you do there is a fair amount of that, and it's cool. And you can also like equip items, you can add items to the characters, and you can, you know, set up certain like skills and things depending on what you're going to be going against in the fight. So
does that like affect your score if you choose an unoptimal team?
Well, your score in these games, the max score you can get, I think is, what is it? 999999. I might be missing a 9, but basically like it's the same
several
in every
nines.
It's like a million basically or something like that. On every song it's all the same, but like, and so the better you do, the closer to that top score you get.
Okay.
But there's other things besides just score that factor into the battles, and those are the parts that are like going to get impacted more by like to get the high score, you just got to basically play the song effectively perfectly. There's like different ranges of like, you know, there's two levels of critical now. There's like a rainbow critical and a regular critical, and then there's like great and good, and then there's miss, you know, like beat.
What are you playing this on?
Switch. Okay. I got it on Switch because
is it on PC?
It's
on
PS5.
It's on Switch, PS5, PS4, and it. Maybe PC, probably.
Steam? I'm curious if people are playing it on Steam Deck.
It's so good. I got it on Switch though because I just want to be able to like play it in bed at night too, and I do all the time. And I actually bought a new controller for my Switch just to have it be quieter.
Speaking of Switch controllers,
look at this.
What is
I brought
this?
With me.
This
like is that a Hori?
This is
it totally looks like a wave bird.
It is by the
you make this yourself.
Somebody stretched
NYXI
stretched a wave bird out a little bit.
It is a Switch controller that is made with the Hall effect electromagnetic design. Therefore, it is drift proof.
Whoa.
Okay, well, that's not the most important thing, though. You didn't tell the people what it looks like.
It is a GameCube. I just gave them a plug.
No, it looks like a GameCube controller.
It's a Wavebird with the indigo coloring. There, I said indigo, not purple.
What so they fixed the thing that apparently even Nintendo can't
won't.
Fix. Yeah, well, and I've seen articles. There were articles printed that was just like, hey, this is just like a nature of the thing. This is why it's happening to even newer systems across different consoles.
This
and
is
blah,
made
blah, blah.
Like how they used to.
John turned it on and he's pressing buttons and it's glowing and he's deleting all of Gabe's save files right now.
Maybe, don't worry. But do you hear this? Listen.
Yep.
2 a.m, that shit does not fly. That's why I bought the Hori, there's a different name in America and Japan, and I forgot the name of both of them, but it's basically, it's super quiet. The buttons don't make noise, and it's really handy for not upsetting your wife. So, yeah.
But want to share that, just, you know, in case you guys were like, it's got the back
panels.
We're
very impressed, Gabe. We're very impressed.
Thank you, Mark. Mark. Yep. How impressed are you with the Resident Evil 4 demo?
Why, I'm glad you asked, Gabe. I'm surprised that I'm the only person here that
as we said before we were recording, I know I'm going to buy that game if we can't get codes.
So,
like it didn't make sense to play the demo.
I downloaded the demo, we were like, do we want to play this? And like, actually, I just want to play the game like proper. So.
Does your demo progress not carry over? Like, would you have to redo
it? Actually, I don't know.
Are you just concerned that if you like get started, you're going to be like real upset when you don't have more to play after you finish it?
Partially, it was a time thing. It was also just a like, I'm going to play this. I don't,
yeah, I'm playing other stuff. So like, if I'm going to play that anyway, I don't want to play a demo that I'm then going to play over again.
Yeah, basically. You don't need a demo to convince you to buy.
Yeah, I know. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah,
I was. Yeah, I was just too excited. I had to see what it looked like. I had not been watching trailers just because I didn't want to. You know, I'm weird about the Resident Evil games. I didn't want to have any expectations, and I wanted to like be surprised. And you know, I do that with Resident Evil games sometimes. So does it
not start you at the beginning? Then
it does.
Oh, okay.
It starts you at the beginning. It's basically the same demo that the GameCube version had. So up until this is not a spoiler, I don't think, but up until the like, where did everybody go? Bingo, like. village area. People have talked to this to death and played it way more in depth than I have, but like the takeaway is my only quandary now is related to what you were talking about with the demo is it looks fucking awesome, and I don't know if I want to play it or wait to play it in VR the first time.
Yeah,
which is a big problem now because I kind of regret. Wait, I kind
not,
of regret
not shipping with any kind of VR or anything.
It's not shipping. Post-launch. Yeah, I don't think they've said when. They've said it's like has undergone development. They put out something in Japanese and made it sound like they just started. And it's like, you guys announced this like a year ago. You better not be fucking just starting now.
Okay, but hold on, though.
Yeah.
It took like a year for VR to come out for Village, right?
It did. Well, but PSVR 2 didn't exist. And so it did take more than.
It might have been out sooner, though, had it, you know.
A year, but
my point is, you know, you just said that you don't want to see anything before you play it. Are you going to be able to dodge everything about it for however long it takes for it to come out in VR? I don't think that's a.
No, I mean
realistic plan.
Well, luckily it's a remake. It's not a new game, so like story spoilers, and there will be some little surprises, I'm sure, like there were in 2 or whatever.
You don't
but I can avoid
see
those.
Somebody's gameplay footage on Twitter and be like, oh damn, that looks cool. I wish I'd played it for myself first.
No, you're right. Like all the like thinking back to that didn't really happen with 8, but thinking back to like the 2 make as. Maybe only me calls Resident Evil 2 remake. Because remake is remake, and then you call it 2 make or 3 make.
2 make.
4 make.
3 make was great. The 2 make was great. 3 make was eh. Yeah. But anyway, 2 make
just like 3
would have upset me to see all the Mr. X, you know, stuff being, you know, Barney the dinosaur and all that stuff that came up.
Yeah, yeah,
Macho Man. Man, there's so many awesome fucking 2 make mods. But anyway, I don't know. I'm so busy that I could not play it for, like, I could not be able to give it the proper time.
Right,
ordinarily, I would
blink and the VR version will be out.
Maybe, you know, maybe. Ordinarily, I would have played the demo even, like, so many times. I think randomly it allows you to do, you know about this?
Yeah, chainsaw mode or something. Yeah.
They call it the chainsaw demo or something like that.
Yeah. It is the chainsaw demo, yeah, which is, like... Hey, the chainsaw guy's in it, and
I
like,
see. Oh,
yeah,
that's
you
the
can
only
make.
Reason they call it that.
Yes,
I see.
As far as I can tell, and there is this like crazy chainsaw difficulty that's just like super hard
random,
mode, which
yeah.
is really cool and smart that they did it because it made people replay it a bunch more than they would have otherwise. It's got, you know, it's like 2 in that it's like really interesting. It's like the same. Bones, but it's not a refurbish. Is that what you call it, Gabe?
That's what John Carpenter calls.
All right,
them.
It's not a refurbish. It's definitely like a reimagining of.
Yeah.
Well, it continues the trend, right? Of like.
Yeah, exactly. It's the 2 make and 3 make. This is 4 make, I guess.
4 make.
But yeah, like it is. You realize the first. I won't spoil stuff here. I'll just say, like, the first house you go into,
yeah,
there is a first house you go into, like there is in the original game.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
very memorable.
Oh, yeah.
Scene, and it's, you know, it is very evocative of that, but it is so much fucking scarier.
Oh, really?
Due to some design decisions they made, but also due to just the fidelity.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Just to the fidelity, and they've shown this in trailers, but like there's just like a lot of fucking bones and shit around, and like places are dark in a HDR very like convincing way that places are, it's selling the darkness in the flashlight ability, and like even more than I feel like maybe I just have more of a affinity for it, but like even more than 8, which is a gorgeous game, really amazing game, visually, I feel like it's just adding so much more to it. And again, maybe part of that is like my nostalgia for the locations. Sure. It's like playing RE4 in VR again was like really crazy and interesting and eye-opening because I have association with all those places. But yeah, like seeing what they changed, what they kept the same. There's not any of the QuickTime
scenes. I heard what? Those are gone. Like,
so I'm not following the coverage. So they probably said like, yeah, we axed that. But I thought that was super interesting because it was kind of like, even at the time, it was kind of like, okay, I guess, you know, you're keeping me interested even though I'm watching a cutscene, and you're doing it with this kind of like admittedly shitty mechanic that we've all kind of agreed is shitty.
Shenmue.
Yeah, like, exactly. Exactly. And it's like, I know why you're doing this. You're doing it for the same reason Shenmue did it, which is like, hey, we're going to do a cutscene, but we want to keep it interactive and not have you not put the controller down and whatever. It doesn't feel like it so far. It lacks for it, but it's just like running from a couple boulders. But also those the boulder scenes is a little less grounded and a little more crazy. So I'm wondering how much that's going to carry through the rest of the game. You know, they like.
Did you finish the demo?
I did. Yeah. Okay. I didn't. I got to. You know how it works, where you get to. I think you have to be alive for 3 minutes or. Kill everybody, or I forget what the other win condition is, but I must have been very, very close, but I died like right before I got chainsawed actually, and it was fucking gruesome because this kind of would be a spoiler, but
we can tag it.
Can you take it?
Yeah, we'll put it in the show.
You're not gonna mind. Nobody here is gonna mind about it, but if you're really hardcore about RE stuff, just like skip. But
time marked
in the village. You go up, there's a church, like, there's a tower. It's not a church steeple, that's something else. But there's a tower, and you can kind of famously, like, climb up the ladder there and just, like, shoot people off the ladder as they were coming up. Or, yeah, it's kind of a thing. You could also get trapped. But in this one, if you go up there, you can still do that if you stay right at the top of the ladder and don't move. But if you move at all, I guess this is like a funny thing. I don't remember this in the first game. I want to say this is something they added for people who, like me, who are going to be like, oh, I'm going to just do this. The fucking floor breaks and you fall down.
Oh, I love it.
Wow. And so the chainsaw guy was right there, of course. And he, but like that whole scene.
I really
scene,
like that idea because it's taking something where it's like,
oh yeah, they're going to mess with that.
You know, have played the shit out of this game, who know it inside out and backwards. You are not allowed to rely on these strategies that are ingrained in your memory.
Which the original Resident Evil remake did that. 2 did that a little bit. Like Metroid Zero remake. Mission did that. I love that. There's like a meta thing going on between the designers and you that's like, oh yeah, there's a dog that's gonna jump out here. And so like in the Resident Evil remake, it was just like ping, like a little instead of a dog jumping through a window, a little like rock came out of the window.
That's one of my favorite
games. Did the dogs then come from a different place like
and
a minute
the dogs
later?
Burst out like later.
Or
they're
that.
Just there.
What do they call
think,
the zombies
later.
In that one? The
Ganados.
Crimson Heads?
Yeah, man. Those were the first time seeing those, like not expect that's the same thing. You didn't know that was coming.
Right.
So, do you know about this? Like
I do not.
I do.
Basically, in the remake,
they
introduce zombies
they
that
come back.
Run. And will, like, I think go through doors and stuff, too, maybe. They did some...
Which one are you
open doors.
The first one, Resident Evil 1.
Remake 1.
Okay, and so this was, like, the original game, they just, like, all kind of shuffled, right?
Basically, yeah, and they stayed dead when you killed them. But in this one, they will come back, and if you
unless
don't,
you,
I think
behead
you don't burn
them
or behead
burn
them, yeah.
Then they would come back as a more powerful enemy.
And they run, so you hear the footsteps, and it was
They have, like, claws and swipe at you. They were really nasty.
So good. I love that game so much.
But, yeah, and that is a great fucking game. But anyway, I'm really liking it so far. Parts of the intro, the production levels are just like off the charts. It's
nice.
Like every once in a while, it's just like, oh yeah, like it's nice to play a state-of-the-art AAA game because I don't do that often these days. But it's just like just walking around, looking at the environments. The PS5 version actually had some like weird shimmering to it. Some of the plants. I saw people looking into a thread. Even the console versions have a lot of options, visual options that you can mess with, more like a PC version. And I saw a lot of people swapping like, oh, yeah, do this, don't do this, like change this the quick turn to this and like a bunch of stuff that I was kind of annoyed by. I was like, do I really need to worry about this shit? Because this is like part of the reason I don't play PC games. I don't want to like gamma shadows on or off. It's like, I don't know what the fuck. Just you know,
I'm annoyed enough.
Tell me like frame rate or resolution. Mm-hmm. Like that's as far as I want to go. And it does do that.
Yeah.
But then I guess you can go into the options and really dig. And in this case, it was like, oh yeah, that stuff. Hopefully that stuff will be fixed by the final. But it was to the extent that everybody kind of like the consensus, at least it seemed like from my reading of the Resetera thread, was like play it on Series X, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Can you tell was the story elements, what limited stuff there is, I guess, in that first part? Like, how did it feel? You know, the first game started off, I thought, feeling kind of serious, but like by the end of that game, I feel like it's like half comedy or something. You know what I mean? But like,
there's some camp.
Are they leaning into that, or is it going in the other direction? Or I did see like in if you're not watching trailers, you may not have even seen this, but I did see that they like took out some of the like weird sexism and stuff with what's her face Ashley, and that's so like
they took that out even of some of the more recent like the Quest version of it. I don't know. There is the intro obscene though, is there,
like, and the drive-in, you mean,
the like drive-in what? It doesn't show the I don't think it shows the full drive-in. It starts to give the intro and then just cuts to you being out of the car, so I think like a little truncated version of the intro. I think if I'm remembering that right. But
did somebody get out to pee in the original? Like it took a while to get there. Like there was like stuff.
Yes, but one of that's the why police officers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they use scenes, I think, from, I haven't seen the like all the Netflix like CG movies. Uh-oh. But I think they use scenes from there, actually, of like saying, because it's Leon saying, here's what happened between RE2 and now,
here's how I got cool.
And then it's like, yeah, it's no matter how you
does
do
he
it
talk
it's,
about how he colored his hair, he, like when that,
yeah,
here's how I got this cool jacket,
that's just jacket. it no matter how well grounded or your best of your intentions are, like, oh, and then the president's daughter got kidnapped and I'm here to find her
by a cult,
never is gonna really come across as like super grounded, the most grounded thing
that's
in the
okay
world
to me. I think the kind of weirdness of that game was part of its charm. I mean, like, it's just some weird shit and weird characters too, like the small guy and like,
Salazar, you know, I am really curious how they're going to like balance that stuff. And like Hunnigan is in it, but it'll be interesting to see what her dialogue is like.
There were no the like Metal Gear codec calls, or is it just straight cutscene?
Now I'm trying to remember what was in the game and what I just saw, like a post or pre, because I did watch some stuff after I played it just to see what other people were saying and talking about it. So I think there is a Hunnigan call before you jump out of the so there is a call in it, but it doesn't. I don't think it appears like the codec in the thing. It appears like a cutscene and you're talking with her. I
because they played with that too, with like Salazar calling you in the original one too.
I read that they do you see him in the demo or no? I guess you wouldn't. They don't show like a cutscene or like, because I read somewhere, I don't remember why, but I read they took his hat off for this version because like it made no sense to be wearing a hat like that inside. Like,
he was wearing like a Captain Crunch Admiral hat.
That's actually the perfect. Yeah. I was trying to think of how to explain that hat and I couldn't think of it. But Captain Crunch.
What do they
Crunch
call that?
Like
it's the tri-point.
I think it's just a tricorn, right?
It's like a Buccaneers. I don't know.
Tricorn. Yeah,
that sounds right.
Yeah. But like the question of, you know, like, is it camp? I think is a pretty obvious, like, of course, but like a very easy way to know is does he or does he not say the word bingo?
Oh yeah, that's the line.
Yeah,
is still
there's
there.
Your answer right there. But like no fucking way are they going to try and
even in Tunic though, Leon was a dork, so like that's consistent now. Like,
I'm not arguing against it. I'm saying I don't think that's a question that even needs to be asked.
Fair enough.
I'm excited.
It was really. It felt like the cool thing about it was it felt like playing the. I still remember. The first time playing that game, like, people forget, like, there was not much excitement at EGM even about Resident Evil 4 because there'd been a bunch of kind of formulaic stuff. There'd been 3, and then there was Code Veronica, and there was, you know, a bunch of of offshoots and had taken so long, and like the shine was
they
off
rebooted the game
of RE4. Yeah. And so when we got it was right before Thanksgiving. We got in a demo, and I remember I took it home. I was playing with friend of the show, Shane Bettenhausen, and my girlfriend, and we were drinking and we were playing it, and we were like, it was like late at night, and we were like, holy shit, this is really fucking good. Like, is this, we like kept like looking at each other, like, is this as good as, like, I think this is really, really fucking good. This is really, really fucking good. We were like stunned at how it was like blew everything away. It was just, I mean, it was like, it was not a surprise so much that it would be good, but it was like, this might be like a 10. Like, this is like,
yeah, like amazing. A
return. This is like blowing away our expectations over and over and over and over and over again. And like, yeah, guess what? It turns out it like birthed an entire new genre, really. It was like they did this new thing the first time and they did it so well. But the thing about playing this remake that I loved is it felt like that in a bunch of ways, like playing it again for the first time. It was like,
that's awesome.
Oh shit, this is really, really scary. And then getting to the village again, it felt like, oh shit, like I feel like I'm really in peril. Like I better sneak around and hide. And like, and so it went around and like stealth killed a couple people. And when the people were like, you know, they were yelling the stuff where they found you, it was like, oh fuck. Like, and when the chainsaw guy came out, it really felt like scary again. It didn't feel like a game you'd played 100 times. And a lot of that is just because of the production values and the fidelity and just awesome. Like seeing it. And of course I was playing it alone and at night and everything like that.
As
but it was
do.
Like, fuck, this is like really scary. So I was just happy that they seemed Next to week. Be leaning into yep. the fear part of it, that there was like a message for around a while that was like, oh, people don't like it when it's too scary and they won't play it when it's too scary. So let's make it like not so scary. And it's a hard balance to strike. I totally get it. I'm optimistic that they're going to, this is going to be closer to a 2-make rather than a 3-make.
Yeah. Interesting that you mentioned that it seems like it's actually scary, because I am, as we all know, not a scary stuff kind of a person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Resident Evil 4 is the only one I've actually played all the way through properly.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Because I could get it on the Wii, and it was very easy to play on the Wii.
That
because
was
you could,
one
you
of
could
maybe
manually
the best version
aim.
For a long time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was kind of, everything is kind of bright and everything is kind of brown and it's all a little bit silly and it's not really that scary. It's more action than, you know, horror. Mm. So, you know, it's probably not for me, but I definitely want to watch.
Have somebody play it in the room.
Well,
while
that's
you,
the thing. Once the game is actually out, I'm probably going to sit down and watch, you know, like a Let's Play of it, because I want to see how they did all of these things differently. Like, that's interesting. Yeah. But I know I do not have it in me to play this game. Like, that's not
I'm so excited.
It's also just beautiful to, I mean, it's just really technically and artistically, so far, artistically impressive. So I'm curious to see how, like, later parts of the game are. I know, like, the Ada Wong, what she looks like in the game, has, like, leaked. Apparently there's copies of the game out there now, which upsets me because I want to have one of them play it.
But. Did you play Resident Evil 2, Mike? You know how Ada Wong looks.
Oh. Yeah, well, I mean, she probably...
Well, no, but Gabe, it's what's her outfit? What's her haircut? What's she wearing? What's she wearing?
Who's Gabe? She wearing?
I don't know.
I'm just excited to be... There's also a bit of nostalgia for... being excited about a new Resident Evil, like, to this degree. And it's funny, it's not new, but after having played 2-make, which I loved, I do feel like 2-make was new enough that it kind of tickled all the old, like, familiar, like, things that I remembered that I loved about original 2.
Totally.
But then it was, like, a new thing, and so now I've got that feeling for 4, and it's been a long time since I was, like, genuinely excited to, like, day one, get a Resident Evil and just dig into it that night. And I actually feel the same way about Final Fantasy 16, which I haven't felt about a new Final Fantasy in, like, since, like, I don't know, 8, maybe? Like, it's been a long time since I thought, like, I was actually excited about Final Fantasy. Like, it's really cool to have those sort of nostalgic, you know,
to be
excitement, I guess, for old franchises that used to be such like when Resident Evil 2 came out, like, originally, that was like, you know, take the week off. Like, this is like a holiday. Like, that was a big deal back then.
In VR, it is going to be fucking unbelievable. Like, I can't, I almost, on PSVR 2, almost cannot imagine it, because the resolution is going to be enough to support it. I'm really curious how much they're going to be able to push. It's going to have to go into third person, I'm sure, for a lot of the stuff. I don't know how they're going to handle the cutscenes. It'll probably have to go into 2D a lot. It's not going to be like the full immersion of 7, but it's going to be like, it's like way prettier.
Yeah.
And like in on VR2 instead of VR1, like that is going to be fucking amazing. I mean,
my prescription lenses arrived earlier this week. And hey, VR is a lot better when your eyes are properly.
You know what's funny? So a lot of people online are talking about a little bit of blurriness on PSVR2,
yeah.
and it bothering them. I forget there's like this name for it in VR, but I should really know that as somebody who makes VR games, shouldn't I? A lot of people were saying like one of the more recent updates, like they're like, is it my imagination or did it fix it or whatever?
Maybe because it could be the timing. It's funny. There is something very weird about playing a game in VR when a scary creature is staring you in the face versus
right
like
in the eyes. No,
the abstract of holding a controller and having it look like it is a very like your lizard brain is firing like crazy.
Something looking at you in the eyes.
Yeah. It's creepy.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'll just give a quick village update. I beat the third boss. So I know the game's
Is the whole game playable in VR, I guess? Like top to bottom? Okay.
Yes.
It's crazy that I still haven't played that.
I had to, because like Dina, I have a limit to my scary pants.
Yo, shit gets scary, man.
The second area, which is like PT, is how I will describe that. Second boss, Airy.
That second. Let's see. So the first one is Lady D.
Yes, Lady Dimitrescu.
Second one is the doll lady,
Donna Benevento.
Third one is the
Moreau.
Fish guy,
Moreau.
Okay, and then fourth one is bad
Heisenberg.
Yeah. Okay.
So are we? Like, can I get into like a little bit of specifics? I guess we already did.
Sure.
When is the baby monstrosity? I was really wondering about that because that's some fucked up shit,
so,
my dude.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming.
That's in the dollhouse.
This is in the dollhouse. So like it was one of those things playing in VR. It's like, okay, I know it's coming. Oh crap, I hear a crying
that
baby.
In VR
with the OLED screens.
Oh shit.
Like,
that in VR. I didn't even think of that.
I had to stop. I had to go to YouTube and go, I need to know what the next 5 minutes of this game is. I can't
Gabe, come on.
That's ruining your own fun.
No.
This will put air on your chest, man. You gotta do that.
I'll absolutely defend him to the death
because,
on this
like,
point.
Yo,
I completely understand.
That. This game gets I gotta calm down. This game gets really like dark, not in terms of tone, just like it's hard to see on the PSVR2. So like I had to go to YouTube and be like, right, I can't even see half of the hallway because I have the brightness setting to when is it barely visible and all that stuff.
Do you actually do that?
You set it to the correct setting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always make
absolutely
it
like
not. Too
dark. I will crank so, that like, way up.
Even though I knew it was coming, the baby creature was coming, I noped so hard, even though I knew it was coming.
That would be, there is a, one of the most fucked up things. This is hard to do even in 2D. So there's a skip for that baby where you... like after you're like standing at the end of a hallway by a door and you make the baby go through the door, but you don't know until like the very end if it's worked or not, and the baby turns and goes in the thing, and doing that in VR which might be like impossible.
No,
like holding your nerve as it's coming right towards you. And is it going to
I know. And like
for context on like my level of okay with scary stuff, you guys remember when PT like first came out and it was like the big thing, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I did not play that. I watched a playthrough on YouTube, and I kept scrolling down to the comments because I was scared.
Couldn't look at the...
all the comments were like, don't come down here, you little bitch. Go back up and watch the video.
That's awesome. I love it.
And I would have to like...
That's awesome.
Scrub ahead to see what would happen, and then go back and watch it happen because it was too scary. Like,
well, in fairness, TT, I think, is, along with RE7... probably the scariest experience I've ever had with a video game. So like
that was
top tier. Like
I still have that on my PS4.
Ooh,
up until now, the most.
Yeah.
Me too.
So I can. You're probably right about this VR like thing because I can now play for like 2 hours when I could only do
You got your
25.
You got your sea legs.
We're getting there.
Getting motion sick, right?
I still get motion sick.
Could it also be that you can see now, or is that?
That's probably helping
a lot.
But the like there was a I think it was Wednesday, there was a like mini boss encounter in a like I forget what like a weird butcher in the butcher shop. There's a mini boss encounter.
Mini boss in the butcher shop.
Maybe it's DLC, I don't know. But
butcher
I was
shopping the village?
Yeah.
There's a butcher shop?
Yeah.
Sounds like someone needs to replay.
There's a treasure there.
How do you know it's a butcher shop?
Because there was a lot of
meat stuff hanging?
Hanging or? And butcher. There's a giant. I mean,
there's not like a butcher guy that's like, selling meat or anything there.
No, he was trying to kill me.
Is he carrying like a cleaver and
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, he has a really giant axe.
Does he have an apron?
And
it does sound like a butcher.
Oh, wait, like a monkey guy?
No, he was just really giant and gross looking. And basically, I was running around the fight arena and I got motion sick. So I had like
the fight arena inside the butcher shop.
Yeah. So like in the building, I couldn't think of the word building, Mark. But like I was running around. I found the grenade launcher, which I didn't know how to reload. So I had to learn how to reload while I was using it. And
it hasn't been that long since I played RE8 and it's really bothering me that I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's in the corner of the room.
It's in the village.
It's in the village.
There's a butcher shop.
It's post third boss.
Post third boss, yes.
And like, there's
go into the butcher shop.
Yeah. And there's a dude.
You know, it's a butcher shop because there's meats hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah. In one of the rooms.
In one of the rooms.
Yeah. And there's like meat laying around for you to pick up after you beat the giant. He's really tall. He's taller than Dimitrescu.
Okay.
Giant axe.
Yes. I know that guy.
Okay. Yeah.
He stomps around the village at the start of the game too.
Does he?
All right.
Let's move on.
There's some weird disconnection here. On. Yeah, we'll figure this out offline.
I'm having a great time.
All right. The arena and the butcher shop, I've got to figure that out.
We are still trying to hit our usual tight 60, so I'm going to
tight 60.
Move us into the news.
Not the tight 60 music? All right, news.
Okay. News.
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 Thank you.
You hit a lot of buttons to pull that off.
Because John wants it live.
No, I want it live too.
We all want it live. The people want it live. I just speak for the people.
I don't understand all the machinations that just had to happen.
I think there was a combination of playing the sound clip and muting the sound clip at specific points.
No, it wasn't that crazy. I could do that.
You could have let me just like make you sound really impressive, like DJ shit.
No, it's because like there's.
Do you decide the colors? Did you like customize?
Yes.
So the,
okay. Yeah, I can.
He's
it sets the colors, and then I go. That's fine.
It's a big soundboard, or what would you call this that we're talking about?
It's an interface. It's a podcast board.
Okay.
Call it a podcast.
Got it. News.
News. Hey, it turns out when you ship PlayStations to Japan, they sell really well because...
When you can actually buy them.
When you can actually buy them because PS5 sales are up in Japan by 450%.
Ooh, to what? Yeah. To how many?
Let me go to my highlights
number,
here.
Surely.
In a week. It is
366,982.
Wait. What
units were sold
ever?
That's not total.
Now? What are you talking
this
about?
This was in February.
Wow,
that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Damn,
it that's beat really the good. Switch. Finally,
there
Switch
you go.
Has been toppled.
Sure. Yeah.
Took 7 years. 8 years.
Well, last year in February 2022, they only sold 65,000.
So I think everybody owns a Switch at this point. Like at least one.
No, yeah,
like,
it's ridiculous. Not, there's none still, left. Yeah, people own two.
Gotta have more babies to sell more Switches.
Again, my thing is, this is, of course, we living in Japan know that Sony just wasn't shipping PS5s to Japan.
Yeah, there weren't many here. You
They're
had to get them by lottery. They sold out immediately when they were not. And yeah, PSVR 2s are also pretty easy to buy.
Yeah,
out
and
there
you
right
can buy
now.
Them in stores here because I know
you can just go in now.
Like
yeah.
In America, they don't sell them in stores, right? But yeah, you could just go up to your local shop and they've got pretty much.
Yeah, that's
everything
right.
There.
They only sold them by. That's crazy.
Yeah,
in America.
I'm loving it, man. I actually have been going to my local game shop, which I haven't done in a while. Like I go like almost once every week or two just to kind of see what's new and what's going on, and like see there's tons of PlayStation stuff. It's like it's nice to see stuff actually in stock again.
I got those VR cradles. It was like almost required for the VR controller.
The charger?
The charger
I got
cradle.
That too,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice. It's really nice. I haven't even used it yet because I literally haven't used my PSVR
I would know
since
because
the last time we talked about it. But
it barely lasts like 90 minutes.
Oh, really?
They're not great, no.
It looks cool, though.
Yeah.
You got the official ones, right?
Yes.
I was
not going to play around with
you're
that.
You're not going to play around with like a fake GameCube controller from Nixie or whatever.
Loud, very loud.
You're
D-pad,
just jealous that GameCube I will never controller. Drift. holding these in my hand.
Actually, we didn't get. So what
children's children will pass that down, and it will still never.
What
drift.
Did you call it? You were like the howl factor. Or something. Oh, what's it? Did you make that up? Or
no,
it like
it's a the.
Howl. You don't have to look it up.
Hall effect is electromagnetic design is the name. Hall
that,
effect
that prevents drift.
Yes, because it's not. It's using magnets for signals
magnets.
And shit.
How do they work?
The stick never touches the sensor, which it does on the Joy-Cons. The sensor is wearing down because the stick rubs against
it. I'm going to make a controversial statement, but the GameCube controller, though, is not a good... Like, it's not a comfortable controller. Why would you not...
trying to get people to get mad at you?
Why would you not just use the,
That's
like,
not
Pro
exactly
controller?
A GameCube controller, though. It just looks like
it's
one.
It's got the peanut, like, bean buttons. Like, what was that? That was
a
Wavebird.
Why are you so mad?
I'm not mad. Wavebird is very nice.
It is definitely meant to look like one, but it's...
You should use the better controller.
No, yeah, you're right. The buttons are...
It's got those weird bean buttons.
It is totally
like,
a fucking Wavebird controller.
Giant
A-button. That's a Wavebird. What's wrong with Wavebird?
Actually,
this controller.
GameCube was okay except for the C stick, which they fixed, and show me the shoulder buttons. The fucked
you got
up
your...
Z... trigger that
it's
like required two people to pull it all the way in.
Happening right
there was
now
only one of them, right?
There was very recent Twitter discourse about how the GameCube controller was like the best controller of all time.
No, that's just people are wrong. That's not even close to true. So
it just,
no,
you know, it's a very timely time to have this controversial.
We are nothing but timely on this podcast. That's for sure. News.
No,
hey, on the pulse. E3.
There's gonna be a bar at E3.
It's happening.
Yeah.
So industry registration has begun for E3.
I should probably get right on that.
Probably.
You registered, John, for E3?
No, not yet.
Ubisoft has.
There's somebody.
But not Nintendo.
Nope.
Not Microsoft.
Nope.
Definitely not PlayStation.
Nope. There's going to be a bar there. I'm serious.
But there's going to be a bar.
I was waiting for like the sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Punctuate the silence.
We'll see. E3 is going to be weird this year.
Is Ubisoft the biggest one that's announced for it?
Probably.
Okay. I'm sure that we'll get. I mean, I hope they do get some more. I want to see. They are trying some different stuff. They're trying a more Gamescom-y mix between, you know, professional and fan event. And, yep, you know, I want to see there be a good, viable E3. I want to see there a reason for everyone in the industry to get together at the same place at the same time. That's not, you know, purely like a GDC or something like that. But I don't know. They've announced a bunch of the different like initiatives that they're doing. I'm not sure. I don't know that anybody knows what should a modern E3 be like. What is makes it different from like a PAX or something that is already done better elsewhere?
That fake E3 nonsense and everybody come to Tokyo for TGS. It's time to bring back TGS.
It never left, John.
Well,
except for COVID. But
says somebody that goes to TGS left for like 3 hours. One business. Of one business day.
The best part of TGS.
Fly here from all over the world to go to the merch
booths. It's like GDC. But most people go there, but then they all do like, it's just there to hang out with people. Same thing with TGS. Come here and hang out with us.
Like, selfishly, I would agree with that. You should come here and hang out with us.
Tokyo's a lot cooler.
Shower us with your gifts and riches.
I mean, you got to hang out with Chun-Li this time.
Yes, we did. That was
last
year. That was.
You guys took some great pictures.
Yes. Speaking of E3 timings, Microsoft has announced their Xbox showcase happening June 11th, which is E3 time.
Hmm.
As well as a Starfield Direct presentation on top of that.
I love how Microsoft just decided they're going to just call them Directs too. They're like, we're not even going to try to do something different.
Did they?
Last one was a Direct too.
This article from Video Games Chronicle. Thank you. Does not use the Xbox branding of the weird underscore lowercase thing. So I don't know.
Oh, is that how it changes? It's Xbox underscore direct?
Yeah.
Was that last one a developer direct?
Something like
that. I think
that.
It was developer
know.
Underscore direct with one
whatever
of the D's
it was. I liked
being...
it. I thought it was great.
Oh,
I thought, I mean, besides.
Yeah, they do. It's not that there's no problem with the content. It's just that, yeah.
Well, there has been a problem with the content.
Oh, sorry.
In that there hasn't been much
the
content.
Direct, I mean,
yeah. There hasn't been
it's
much
been good.
Content.
It's been good.
But yeah, I think that. The last one I liked because it felt like it had its own identity, but it also felt like there was a reason. It wasn't just like trying different stuff to be different.
Did you see Stephen Totilo talking about some of the stuff going down with the Microsoft and the antitrust stuff? And there was like bit of like
there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of that. I mean, there was that a few, you know, earlier before that, there was the Jim Ryan quote that the Microsoft woman just came out and said, like
what he said, right?
Yeah, we're not interested. Basically, paraphrasing, like, we're not interested in a deal. We're interested in you not in blocking your merger, which is obvious to anyone, by the way.
Well, Stephen was saying that the FTC's lawyers are dissatisfied with the documents Microsoft has disclosed in the lead up to their trial. And like one of the things on their list is like that they want to see more of is more about Microsoft's next generation gaming ecosystem.
Yeah.
Does that mean something, or is that just like, you know, like is there actually something there that we don't know about that they're hinting at, or are they just talking about generally like what they're going to be doing in the next few years?
That's what I think it means, what they're going to be doing in the next few years, because they have to. Yeah, they're like looking forward to like, okay, is this going to stifle competition or not? One of the more interesting things that I think came out from him, it came out from somebody, was talking about that there was a perception amongst the regulators that are looking at this that Microsoft did not adhere to statements they made around the Bethesda.
About ZeniMax.
The ZeniMax acquisition, which I didn't see the details about that, but I'd be very curious to read more about it. Because, yeah, it did seem like they were talking more about stuff not becoming exclusive, and then it was exclusive. But I always assumed, actually, if you went back and read the statements very carefully, that they very carefully never said anything that they didn't go against. Certainly anything they've done since then hasn't been a surprise, I don't think, anybody. But
one of the things is they want to see those deals they cut with Nintendo and those 10-year Call of Duty deals.
That was another thing they asked for.
The details.
But I mean, I don't know if we want to get into this whole thing, but it's like, does anybody agree with the idea that this should be blocked, that Microsoft would be like an overriding force and that it would be unfair to PlayStation and they would right?
That's nonsense. Like, come on. I mean, there is a timeline. There's a lot of possible timelines, and there certainly is one where like this happens and like 10 years from now, it turns out that, Microsoft made
that was
all
the
right moves.
And
Sony made all the wrong moves. Excuse me. And there it goes. But like, no, Sony is still like largely destroying them in terms of like market share right now, and like it's not going to change.
Which no
overnight.
One disputes, and you can't dispute. You can't look at like,
and they're not talking
anything.
About taking it off. They're offering to keep it on the platform. Like, you can't base your whole platform around Call of Duty. Like, it's not the only game on the system. Like, there's other stuff to do that you can be doing.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say it's healthy, but I don't think it's necessarily unhealthy either. I think like Activision was about to torpedo thanks to Bobby Kotick anyway, and so Microsoft in a way is like potentially putting out a life raft to a lot of really talented people at those companies who were probably like thinking about leaving. You know, there's a lot of good that can come out of it. It's not all bad news.
In theory, and I do get people that think about like, you know, about things being exclusive and that being like from a consumer standpoint, like, oh, you should, you know, get to choose everywhere you put and where you have your friends on. I get that. But at the same time, especially as a developer, but also as a game player, like the best case, and this is like a kind of like the mission statement, like the theory behind capitalism, is like that it might be the most benefit for everyone if there's like, if Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony were almost very equally powerful, that they're going to have to like then do everything they can for market share, and that they're going to have to match or do better than each other and keep one-upping each other and doing all these kind of things. Like, that does kind of make sense to me. Now, I don't know enough about, like, the economics to be, like, that, you know, where you block a deal that's too big that makes things unfair. But I do agree that, like, does anybody really think that them owning Activision would be like, oh, well, it's over. Like, it's unfair. Like,
no,
Sony, you're fucked.
Close.
It's like, they'd have to do that and be really good with, like, buying Bungie and Halo, you know, that didn't, buying Halo and keeping Halo that's a fucking hard thing to keep those the franchise going. And you do a big buyout like that, a lot of people leave, especially once stuff vests and whatever. And so keeping that and keeping that going, especially for a series that's been doing it for that long, like as Halo proves, is really fucking hard. And so it's anybody's guess, even if they did take the keys to the, you know, biggest, best Ferrari of game franchises in the industry, which Activision arguably is, if they could keep it going. But anyway, I think it's a super interesting case, but I guess we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I think that is where we will call it.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You just
I got more news, but that was a good spot.
In our in-depth legal analysis area.
I mean,
here.
You guys want Dragon Ball news? I got that here.
No. Well, you're right. You ended at the right time. Yeah, we're at that point. Gabe, what should people be doing for the next 2 weeks? Oh, ordering the new Legends of Localization Book 3 Undertale, talking about Undertale being localized into Japanese. Woo, that's right. Switched up on you.
We got a whole book done on us.
Which I didn't know about and saw here at the 84 Towers and was gifted one. And I'm super excited to check out, along with a little mini companion book. Do you get this if you order?
I think they have those with all of them.
It's a separate item, but you can add it to your order very easily. And you get I'm pretty sure you get a discount if you order them together.
Do you want to explain what the little companion book is?
So it's called The Passport to Undertale. And it's like a little, I say little, but it's actually like four times the size of all the previous passports.
They've done this before.
Yeah, yes. They have the passports for each of the Legends of Localization games, which
the previous ones were
The Legend of Zelda and Earthbound. And it's basically like a little Japanese textbook, grammar guide, vocabulary list, fully about the game that the book is about. So if you wanted to try playing the game in Japanese, it explains to you some of the grammar points you're going to need to know. It shows you the item names in Japanese. It gives you, you know, like the tools you need to kind of muddle your way through it.
They do such good work.
But the Undertale one is like massive because there's just a lot. There's a lot going on in that game, you know.
Yeah, it's a really well done
book.
There's
a lot to learn.
We worked on it together for a long time just in terms of like trying to help them out and giving them access to stuff and answering questions and things. And yeah, it turned out really nice. I think it's really interesting. Like if you're a fan of the game, or also if you're just into like localization, like all three of those books were really fascinating. The Earthbound
they
one
really
was just
are
really, really good. Yeah.
Right on.
Very cool. Well, you can follow us on our homepage, 8-4.jp, our second home, giantbomb.com. We got a thread on Resetta. Feel free to leave a comment. You could also leave 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice. Finally, you can follow the show on Twitter at 84play. You can follow me on Twitter. Where can they find... Wait, you can find me on Twitter at Gabriel De Leon.
You can find me on Twitter if you just look
Here's
around.
I'll
be on Twitter. Just find me there.
The nose knows. Follow the nose.
I got ahead of myself and was getting ready to cue Tina, and then I forgot to say my Twitter handle, at Gabriel De Leon.
I am Tina Butts with 2 T's and a Z. John?
I am John TV. Didn't you not say it at all last episode?
Yeah,
you just did two in a row. With right. And Mark, how about you?
GabesEarlJones.com.
Mark MacD. At Mark MacD. And
see some of y'all. Mark, I guess you're are you okay
I'll
with saying where
GDC.
You're gonna be? You're GDC bound.
I'll be at GDC.
I didn't know I was coming up.
This year.
Trapped in a hotel room doing work stuff for most of it. Not that kind of work. If you see me, say hi. I guess.
you need some. You okay?
No, I love our listeners. Our listeners are awesome. Seriously, yeah. Do please see me. I'm always.
You're right.
It sounds like a teacher note, like see me after class.
Yeah.
And
I'll be very impressed because that will mean that you will have listened to this podcast in, you know, the first few days of it even being out there. So I will know you are a true fan.
Ooh.
And then you can show me your tattoos and other things that prove it further.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, with that, until 2 weeks from now, who would like to take us out?
When you kill people, they die. For real.
Pelada Itagüí. Mi tina, mi tina. Game on hamburger.
Mi tina, mi
tina. Chong gong ma, sa lu gong ma po.
Gong gong chong ma be ma de.
Don't like what you find it.当中有梦呗 ready one two three 当作水板底
哦吼吼
水水板底
当来过水板底当中有梦呗 ready one two three 当作水板底